Such a blessing to be here today, to be with you, and to enjoy this fellowship, this time of worship. So thankful for everyone who is here this morning. And today, we're going to be talking about brotherly love. And yes, I shamelessly use my own family to illustrate the point. So these are all my sons, and I have four of them. You don't see most of them, or two of them at least, most of the time. But several years ago, we had this picture made, and I decided it would be a good illustrative picture. I apologize to my two sons who are here for using them in this fashion. But you know what? It serves to make the point. Let brotherly love continue. And this is a quote from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Brotherly love. Now, of course, as we have the picture up here of brothers and seemingly loving each other, which from time to time they, you know, may act in a little different way than that, but most of the time they do a pretty good job. And this is an illustration then of how we, as God's family, as God's people, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are to have love toward one another as well. You know, as we go throughout our lives from day to day, every day, there are so many things that we must focus on and things that are mundane in nature, office work, paperwork, and a lot of different things that we pursue. I don't know what your career is, but sometimes, you know, our careers, they just have us focusing on things that are very physical in nature and not a lot of spirituality involved in it. Our employment that we have, the maintenance of things that we do, paperwork, all of these things can serve to kind of draw us away from thinking about spiritual matters and thinking about our relationships with other people. And sometimes we let these mundane things kind of interfere with our relationship with others. And I have to say, I'm probably about as guilty of that as anybody else. But I want us to remember, you know, what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 25. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" So we need to elevate our thinking, you know, above the mundane. And that's what brotherly love is all about. Trying to see others as God made them, not trying to see them as our a projection of our own thoughts, a projection of our own way that we deal with things through life. And so do we think about loving our brother and sister in Christ? And do we think about how we're going to view them as people made in the image of God, not just someone who may be able to facilitate or hinder me from accomplishing whatever secular goals that I may have to accomplish? And so let's think about brotherly love this morning and what that is and how we can focus on it more. First of all, what is brotherly love? Well, it comes from this Greek word that from which we have a city in our nation named from, Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia. And that's a Greek word composed of two different words, the word philos, which means love or which means affection, and then the word adelphia, which means brother, adelphos, it means brother. And so it literally means love of our brother or love of our sister, however you want to look at that. But we have brothers and sisters in Christ and we are to love all of us. When I say brotherly or brother or something like that, I don't mean to exclude our good sisters, certainly not. But this idea of brotherly love, it occurs six times, this word, in the Greek New Testament. Romans 12, 10, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, Hebrews 13, 1, and 1 Peter 1, 22, and 2 Peter 1, 7. You may say, well, there's only five verses up there. Well, it happens two times in one of those verses, so that's six times it appears. So when we're thinking about brotherly love, we're talking about a concept in the New Testament that is emphasized. And we want to emphasize it within our lives as well. What does it mean? It means to have tender affections for one another. Romans 12 and verse 10 shows that. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. So to have these tender feelings toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, to love them, to appreciate them, to elevate them in our stature, in our way of thinking, you know, above all of those mundane things that challenge us on a daily basis to incorporate our thoughts. You know, we want our thoughts to be focused on heavenly things, on brotherly love. 2 Peter 1 verse 7, we are to add to our faith virtue, our virtue godliness, to our godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love, and is showing a relationship here between all of these godly virtues, these Christian virtues, if you will. And as we incorporate these things within our lives, we then notice that our emotions are involved in these things. That is, to have tender affections means that I invest myself in other people, that I am looking to take part of who I am and then open myself up so that others can experience that love and affection that we have. And so we develop this. We grow in this. It's something that we don't maybe experience all at once. It's something that we experience over time. And the better we get at it, the more we grow into it, and the more we begin to love one another as brothers in Christ. Now, it is related to another kind of love, this agape love that we see in the Bible, the highest form of love. And this agape love is not necessarily affectionate love. It can be, but it is the kind of love that we pursue when we're trying to do the best that we can do for other people. And sometimes that involves sacrifice. Sometimes agape love doesn't feel so good. The Philadelphia type of love, that love is a good feeling most of the time. But when we think about the one, it's a subset of the other. And so there's a relationship. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 tells us, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. So that first word, brotherly love, there is the Philadelphia, and then the second love is the agape. And so if we love one another in the sense of agape love, we're going to have brotherly love toward others. And so that's something that we practice. Look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And this is the attitude that we have as Christians, as those who have obeyed the truth, become children of God. And so as children of God, we reflect God's love within our lives by loving one another, by loving our brother and sister. It is a function of agape love to have brotherly love. And so what is brotherly love? It's that affectionate attitude that's motivated by the highest form of love that God can give us, that we can then share to others, and then we can pursue in demonstrating our love for one another. Brotherly love, such a wonderful thought. But then question number two, we want to look at why brotherly love? Why should we have brotherly love? And you know, in the way the world works today, there's so many people who think, well, you know what? I don't really need to have affectionate feelings for other people. I can get along doing that just fine, getting through the world just fine without that, you know. And I'll just do my job and I'll focus on my task and I'll get that work done. And then I can go home at night and not have to worry about this idea of loving my brother. And, you know, there's people like that in this world. It may seem strange to us, those of us who love other people, those of us who want to pursue good relationships with others. Maybe that's a strange way of thinking to us, but there are some people like that. But we want to ask the question, why? Why should we have brotherly love? And the first answer that we give to this question is this: because God loved us. And you know what? That's the motivating factor here. God's love motivates us to love other people. And there's so many Bible verses about this. 1 John 4:11, for example. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so we need to have that brotherly love because God loved us. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 says. And we see that God motivates us through the Holy Spirit, Romans 5 and verse 5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so God's love poured out into our hearts. And when we understand this love and when we practice this love, we're going to see that it is a godly love. It's not a carnal love as so many pursue in this life, but rather it is something that is wholesome and good and beneficial to others. Think about Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. And so God is rich in mercy, and this brotherly love involves elements of mercy and desire to do good to others. 1 John 4 and verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And yes, if we want to live in God, if we want to have that relationship with God, we should love one another. Brotherly love is motivated by God's love. But then I want us also to think about the idea that without love, our actions don't have a lot of significance. Because think about 1 John 4, verses 20 through 21 here. And it's love that motivates us then to act and to do things that have real meaning for other people. So John writes this. He says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So there's some very practical consequences to loving our brother. And he says this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And this practical consequence then extends to our relationships with one another and means that as practicing Christianity within our lives, demonstrate love in a very practical way. Think about 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 1 through 3, where Paul says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And so this is our motivation for doing these very practical things. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. When we love, we do good things, but then we do good things because we love. And there's a reciprocal relationship there between these ideas. Without love, our brethren become mere tools for us to use, or those that we interact with on a daily basis are just tools, and we'll just start to see them that way. It's just things that are there to facilitate whatever desires that we want to facilitate. That's not Christian living. That's not what it means to love others. Rather, we have the wrong perspective when we get into that. You know, we need to, so many people in this world, how they think is that they use people and they love things. They love their cars. They love their houses. They love their lands. They love their toys, whatever they have, you know. But then they just use people to get those things. Well, what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that we use things and love people. You see, just the opposite of that. We're not, things are not the things we're supposed to love. Those are the things we should devalue. Those are the things that we shouldn't love. But then we're supposed to love people. And so oftentimes we get that wrong. We love things and use people instead of loving people and using things. But we need to love people. The Pharisees had a bad attitude toward people, and they let that change their attitudes. They let those things affect them in a way that ended up causing problems and divisions and breaking relationships. We don't want that. We want good relationships with one another. Love then leads us to have unity. It leads us to bring others to Christ. It leads us to value people in a way that's going to unite us together, just as God sought to unite us together. Romans 2 and verse 4, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" And when we repent, we bring ourselves back to God. And when you bring yourself back to God, and I bring myself back to God, and we all draw closer together to God, you know, that triangle where God is at the top, and then I'm over here, and then you're over here, the closer we get to God, what happens? The closer we get to one another also. And so we need to let God lead us and guide us so that we can be close to one another and love one another, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Romans 15 and verse 7. And then finally, as we conclude our thoughts this morning on brotherly love, we want to ask the question, how do we practice brotherly love? How is it that we take this notion, this idea of being kindly affectionate toward one another, and put it into practice? Well, first of all, we need to want to be around each other. And I know that that's kind of an obvious thing, but how can you have brotherly love towards someone if you don't share time with them, if you don't spend time with them? And that's something that we need to do. You know, the early church, when Christianity first got started, the early church, they were around each other a lot. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. "Now all who believe were together." Now, we could stop right there and make a point just of that. They were together. Believers were together. And you see, this is the first idea that we need to incorporate into our lives and practice if we're going to have brotherly love. We need time together. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, about what practical things we can do. But they were together and they had all things in common. Acts 12 and verse 12, "Many were gathered together praying." And so we get together as Christians, as brothers and sisters. And when we get together, we then show our love toward one another. So we see then, as we're thinking about getting together, and I messed up my slide somehow here, evidently I cut off the top verse, but Psalm 122 and verse 1 says this, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And so the psalmist is expressing joy for getting together with his brothers and sisters. And we should think about that as a time of joy, as a time of gladness, getting together with others who are Christians. Psalm 84 and verse 10. There, the psalmist reflects on getting together when he says this, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." In other words, I would rather do the most lowly thing together with my God and with my brothers and sisters in Christ than to have the highest honors, to have the greatest praise among the wicked of the world. Let's practice loving our brother by getting together. But then let's think about the activities that we can be involved in getting together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Certainly, first and foremost is our weekly assemblies that we have for the church, our Sunday morning worship, and our Sunday evening and Wednesday evening Bible classes that we have. These are opportunities for us to get together and to show our brotherly love for one another. And our elders, in their wisdom, have established that we meet at these times to engage in fellowship, to study God's word, and to encourage one another. And I'm so thankful that we have these times. You know, I wasn't always a preacher. You know, there was a time in my life when I worked in the computer industry, and I was grateful that I could get together with my brethren on Sundays and on Wednesday nights. I valued those times. They were important to me because I was able to get out of the world and get into some spirituality and get with people who I know really love me, as opposed to so many in the world today who just want to take advantage of us and use us. But you know what? We look forward to getting together and participating in our weekly assembly. What about other church activities? You know, these are our voluntary activities, but you know, we can participate in these other activities such as potlucks and game nights, and we have our vacation Bible school that we've been talking about that's coming up. And also, I want to plug our youth camp that we're going to have the first week in July. And so we have a youth camp that we want all to come to and participate in. That's a whole week that our youth can be around one another in Christ, other Christians, and do wonderful, loving, encouraging things. Such a great time for our youth to be together. Well, as we think about some of these other things, maybe someone says, "Well, you know what? I think I'll just do the things that I'm obligated to do, and then those other things, I don't really need to do them." But, you know, I want us to think about that attitude for a minute. If we're really trying to love our brother as God wants us to love, you know, do we turn to our spouses and say, "Well, you know, I'm just going to do what I'm obligated to do with you. I'm not going to do any extra." You know, how do you think our wives, guys, how do you think they'd feel about that if we told them that? They probably wouldn't like that very much, you know. Probably would look at us and say, "Oh, really? Well, I'm just found a new list of obligations for you then," you know, or something like that. But that'd be how some might respond. I don't know. But you know what? As we go forward in thinking about what Christ did for us, right? He was not obligated to do what he did. He did it voluntarily. He did it because he loved us and he wanted us to be saved. We need to follow that same spirit within our lives. I'm not here just to fulfill an obligation. I'm here to love and to give myself away to other people. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, to practice the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You see, it's about elevating other people, lifting us up, practicing brotherly love. Jesus lowered himself so that he could elevate us, and he did it voluntarily. Do we have the same attitude? Let brotherly love continue. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Such a great verse. Such a wonderful attitude for us to pursue within our lives. We should love our brother because God loves us. And so that we can then demonstrate God's love toward those around us. That will have a great effect on our church if we will practice brotherly love. Maybe this morning you need to follow the example of Christ and giving yourself 100% to doing what He wants in your life. And this morning we would like to help you to do that. Maybe you're not a Christian. You'd like to become one. You look at this and you say, brotherly love, what a novel concept. I need to practice that. I need to do more of that. Well, if you're not a Christian, then we invite you to do just that, to come in response to God's love for you in giving His Son Jesus to die on the cross so that you might be saved. His gracious offer, you then can receive and turn around in your life and make His grace your grace by hearing His word and believing it and repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord and identifying with Him in baptism. Well, then you can start living that life of love that God wants all of us to live. And we can help you do that this morning. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come right now while together we stand and while we sing.